Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, quite likely go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's gorgeous down here. It's even Fukushima irradiated. It's really helped the economy because everybody now got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to help it. Today, we're going to be talking about controversy. Have you noticed how the media in general has the subtext of controversy? I was watching a comedy piece called by Russell Brown called Scandalous last night. And in the opening to his show, he had the media, many different mainstream BBC media, repeating the exact same thing over and over and over and over again about Russell Brown being scandalous and so evil and so bad and what have you. And it just goes to show you, man, anybody in the entertainment industry, anybody in talk radio, anybody anywhere who's got more than two or three ears listening in a stoner basement somewhere, trust me, the words that you say can really mess up your life and take it in a different direction entirely. My very special guest today, I'm not sure if this has messed up his life, but it's certainly taken him in a different direction, is Mr. Peter Santilli from petersantilli.com. No, it's Pete Santilli because he's kind of like, he's cool, he's chilled, he's down with the homeboys like that. Pete, welcome to the program.
I'm your homie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your homie from way on the upside here in North America. What's going on, Vinnie Eastwood? It's great to be on your show.
Like my homie from Wyoming.
I'm actually, I broadcast live from Southern California. How do I sound, by the way?
You're coming through just fine. Okay. And in fact, might I say, it sounds like you've got a professional radio voice.
I was told that before I even got on radio.
By chance, were you a very tall African-American man waving a sign on the side of a road once?
Do I sound African-American?
No, but you certainly sound like you've got the golden radio voice like that, man.
Oh, you know what? That's a great compliment. Thank you very much. But, you know, I've done public speaking and stuff like that, so I've got... I've been in corporate America. I've been at the executive level. So, I've spoken quite a bit. It just so happens that, I decided to pick up a microphone, almost a year ago now. Started my show. By the way, my website is thepetesantillishow.com. And I broadcast live daily out of Southern California.
What time?
actually, right now, it's starting. We're actually doing a pre-show prior, but 7 p.m. Pacific time. We broadcast, we start with our pre-show, and then we go live at 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, relative to my show then, that's just 2 hours after it finishes.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, yeah, you're welcome to join me. By the way, Vinny, I want you to join us in the chat room sometime. We've got a lively chat room, and that's what happens during the pre-show. Everyone listens to us back channel doing stuff, and yeah, you can click on the live show chat and join us. I'd like to invite you over there sometime.
Well, it sounds like a good idea, and I think we can combine things because directly after my show, we have an after-the-show social chat, so we have listeners calling in via Skype just to me, and we're just having a general group conference. Friday nights are usually the most fun ones.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love staying engaged with the listeners. Absolutely. It's fun. But thanks for having me on, Vinny. I really appreciate it. I've listened to a couple of your episodes. I really love what you're doing out there. I especially love the first time I landed on your site, that button down at the bottom, it says, you use the term that I love very dearly, and that is the word guerrilla media. I'm glad to be on somebody's show that references guerrilla media, because I think I'm a part of that.
Yeah, that's it. And the main principle of guerrilla warfare is you use your weaknesses as strengths, and you use your enemies' strengths as his weaknesses. If you're small, you're mobile, you're responsive, you've got no chain of command to make decision makings, so you can react quicker. If you're large, no such thing. This is why the mainstream media is basically dying off like a necrotic branch of the tree of humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. And, one thing is that the larger you are, the more beholden you are to some non-human entity. That's the way I see it. Being small and mobile and agile allows us to pretty much speak our minds without having some corporate sponsor telling us what we can and can't say. And I love that freedom.
My mate came over yesterday, Pete. He said, Vinny, I want to listen to your David Icke interview. So we did. And one thing that David Icke said kind of struck out at me was that if you decentralize decision-making, it makes those decisions far more diverse. And humanity's pretty diverse, isn't it? So it occurred to me that with media, local body politics, military, anything, it should all be really, really localized so that nobody's going to have huge control over, say, a country like the United States. You want to send everybody to die. I've got this inherent flame in my throat, Pete. Because I see so many people in so many sectors. It doesn't just count to the conspiracy, it counts to the truth movement as well, who are centralizing control and decision-making for so many of us.
Oh, yeah. You know what I've been ranting about? I've been really just outwardly talking about revolution here in the United States. And what revolution means, it doesn't necessarily need to be a violent thing. It needs to be an abrupt change. And the change that I want to see here in the United States, and it could be applied anywhere, is that we don't need a centralized Washington federal authority to run our show out here in Southern California. I really believe that's what's really gotten us into the biggest hot water that we're in here in the United States. We need to put the power back into the United States, right? Yes, we are United States, but back to the states. I've been ranting about that. I'd love to be able to just fold Washington, D.C., take the printing press, print our own money for the people at the U.S. Treasury, And really, that is the ultimate decentralization. Let California worry about California's business. Let Texas worry about theirs. Florida worry about theirs. And unfortunately, I don't know exactly how you're set up in New Zealand, the way you have your do you refer to them as boroughs? Or
we did once upon a time, but they apparently were too efficient and returning a lot more dividends and money back to the people. So they centralized and instead gave all that money to private contractors who did a really half-assed job.
Yeah, and to roll up to the globalists at NATO as well, right?
Yeah, the Prime Minister John Key visited NATO kind of like on a weekend, you know, as you do, and just signed us up to NATO.
That's right. Now you're on the crack program. You guys are going to be totally addicted to that. You won't be able to get off, and you'll be just crashing and burning like we are here in the U.S.
It's like taking the globalist fast crack in life.
Yeah, and it's called the globalist equivalent of crack is debt, of course. So have you guys buried yourself in debt as of yet?
Oh, we just hit the biggest debt ceiling we've ever had, and at a country of 4 million people, the Prime Minister, who's a Federal Reserve, New York Federal Reserve banker in charge of bond and derivatives trade for Europe, once upon a time, is getting us $400 million in debt a week. A week! And that's in a country of 4 million people, mind you.
Well, you see, that's the first step to them acquiring all of your land, because eventually you'll default, and they will just take your collateral, which is your entire country.
They've right. taken most of it already, Pete. And you just wonder, have you ever seen a video or something like that? And thieves come into your house and they take your couch, they take your curtains, they take your kitchen sink, and you know you're just sitting there and you're asleep or whatever, and you wake up and almost everything, even the light fixtures, are gone. You just wonder, man, could they have taken anything more?
Yeah, we call them right now. It's a current event. It's called Hurricane Sandy victims. They're doing that right now. They're running from house to house, literally looting, taking what they can, however they can, in the northeastern area especially. And that's literally going on right now. If you look at the videotapes coming out of the area where our hurricane hit.
A lot of gun owners probably shouldn't have evacuated, don't you think?
Well, in New York, they're not allowed to have too many guns. That's actually more of a, you know, that's the socialist side of the United States of America. But, yeah, they're not allowed to have guns.
Well, and now you've got looting. Cause and effect.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's funny.
Why can't people just see it simply like I can? I mean, it's not that frickin' difficult. If you've got stuff that people want to steal, and there's nobody to stop them, they're going to steal it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Especially when they get hungry. You see, the government isn't going to be there as they say they're going to be with, you know, truckloads of food, water, shelter, all that stuff. They're not there. It takes a lot of time for that to happen in a major event. But anyways.
Unless, just like in the Christchurch, New Zealand quake, they already had 1,000 troops and supplies and emergency relief not 10 kilometers from the city and the harbor, running a drill, emergency preparedness on the same day that 9 U.S. congressmen, including the head of FEMA, were talking to John Key for a couple of hours, and then they stepped on a plane. 2 hours later, boom!
You guys have HAARP up there, too?
Oh, yeah. There's a HAARP facility 15 k's from the city.
Unbelievable. I never knew that.
I've got actually. Pictures of it. I've got pictures of it, bro. My one of my listeners down there, he contacted me after hearing the show about the HAARP and stuff like that. And he went down to that facility and started taking pictures of all these antenna array. You know, New Zealand security is really awesome, i.e. there's none.
Wow.
You know?
That's floored me. I didn't know that they were doing that. I thought they're only nuking us here down in the United States or Japan if they start screwing around with currency.
Well, it's called over the horizon radar for a reason, and they got bases all over the places. One in Australia, I believe, and one in New Zealand. And I read an article alleging that there were 6 to 8 plus worldwide currently.
That's amazing. So, you know, if you
wanted to control global weather, didn't they did a global system, huh?
When we talk about this stuff, we're called conspiracy theorists. And you know, unfortunately, we don't have access to, you know, the globalist plans to take these big, huge weapons and use them against us. So all we can do is theorize. And the way I theorize is I take a look at those patterns. Like with 9/11, you've got FEMA stationed just outside of, you know, New York City, just... what, blocks away from the World Trade Center. And they're using the same exact scenario every time. You can pretty much...
Incidentally, Pete, the head of FEMA that was here with those 9 U.S. congressmen didn't leave with the congressman. He stayed behind to manage the crisis.
Of course. Yeah. See, that's how they set themselves up as heroes.
I just incidentally... Oh, it's plum lucky.
Absolutely coincidental. You know, just like our FBI, I don't know if you've been following the stories with our FBI and terrorism. Terrorism, I believe, has always been concocted, but now it's being manufactured by the Federal Bureau of Investigation because they find some sucker jihadi that wants to participate in their scam. They set up the whole scenario, provide him with explosives, get him all the way to the point to where they can say, look, we just solved the crime. We just caught this guy. Caught the guy doing what?
What you told him to do? My girlfriend comes in, bro, and I didn't even hear that story. And she says, hey, Vinny, did you hear about the guy who was trying to blow up the Fed in New York? And I go, oh, don't worry about it, baby. It's probably just the FBI.
That's exactly right. It's so, and we're laughing about it, but I get so ticked off when I hear about this.
Wait a second.
I call them, you know what I call them? I call them code threes, okay? And code three is, you know, that it's that that attitude that our law enforcement and our federal law enforcement authorities have, that sense of power they have. They put that little red light on their head, and they want to come to the rescue of everyone so that they can be that hero on the evening news. And that's what's driving terrorism.
I think what's driving terrorism is a political persuasion. And a lot of people don't know the definition. Like communism, fascism, capitalism, they're political ideologies, right? Terrorism is also a political ideology. It's defined by using fear, coercive tactics, and violence in order to make the population do the will of the government. Now, ask yourself honestly, Americans listening, do you currently live under a terrorist government?
Yeah, I can answer that as a citizen. Would you like me to?
Yeah.
The United States of America, our government, not the people, because the people don't know what, they don't even know what's going on. But the United States government is the biggest manufacturer of terrorism worldwide, period. We could call it war with militants in uniform, or we could even call it Al-Qaeda through the support of John McCain and Lindsey Graham providing arms to the so-called Syrian rebels. We actually support terrorism. We're a state sponsor of terrorism, and that is an absolute fact. That's not a conspiracy theory.
But that's what false flag terrorism is, the definition of it. And, you know, it's funny. It's like you walk down the street, see a real hot girl, you trip her up and you catch her in your arms and you go, I'm your savior. And she loves you for it. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with my very special guest, Pete Santilli from thepetesantillishow.com. So we've got thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and thepetesantillishow.com. It's kind of like a typewriter like that. Cha-ching! We'll be right back after the break.
Do you know whose dad are you on?
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, meek parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police, trick, trap,
ladies and gentlemen,
Rick, butcher, and murder the people that keep
welcome back, everybody. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest, Pete Santilli from thepetesantillishow.com. And what I wanted to do, Pete, just kind of briefly during the segment, is actually kind of get your actual full kind of backstory and stuff like that. Like, what did your parents do for a living?
My parents, wow, that's great. That's way back, right? My parents were, actually, I was first generation born here in the United States of America, by the way, I might add. Italian immigrants came to the country. My dad actually retired from Ford Motor Company. My mom, she was a fashion designer, but, you know, a seamstress, really, a hardworking person who owned a small factory. She manufactured dresses. So, you know, they're retired now, enjoying life in upstate New York, but just an old Italian couple, great people. Very caring, simple people. Blue collar.
And what did you get into? How did you get into all of this sort of stuff? Like, here's what I found about activists / radio show hosts, anybody who's against a new world order. They either, A1, were kind of born into the situation where all those ideas were there and it just kind of is, it's inevitable. Or B2, they believe in the system and are very talented, get very far in it, and then fall very far once they get messed around by the scumbaggery element and spend the rest of their life basically fighting it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I'm definitely fighting it. But the answer to that question about how I got into this, I mean, you want me to tell you my background and my history, what led me to this point to where I'm at today?
Oh, yeah.
I left New York. I actually decided to join the United States Marine Corps. I joined the service. I was going to go to school to become an architect, and I just didn't want to sit at a drawing board for all my life. Went into the military. Anyways, long story short, came out of the military. I went into corporate America, and I immediately hit the ground running. You know, really just, good-looking guy, a lot of energy, had a great military background. I was really, really squared away, so I did real well in corporate America, and they said, man, Santilli, you got a lot of energy, and they just pulled me on up the chain of command. So long story short, I went up the chain of command at Bell South Telecommunications. That's one of the world's greatest salespeople ever in the history of sales, I might add. I'm just kidding, actually. That's what they told me anyways. But I went into sales and marketing management at the executive level. Then the next major position that I took was at Coca-Cola. And essentially what I was exposed to, and by the way, I had a top secret security clearance at in the Marine Corps. I handled our nation's greatest secrets. I handled all aviation deployed weaponry. I had a pristine track record, an awesome employment record. I worked for Coca-Cola all the way to the executive level, and I discovered something that I wasn't supposed to discover. And I found out that Coca-Cola was stealing wages, $200,000 to $300,000 a month just in Southern California alone. And I tried to fix it. Now, here I am, the corporate mucky muck. I'm a Republican neocon watching Fox News, just absolutely just deeply embedded in neoconservatism, wanting to go blow up jihadis and saving the world. And then I came across this thing, and I found out very quickly that corporate America is not on the side of the people. And they essentially tried to stuff cash in my mouth to keep my mouth shut. They did not want to fix the problem. I ended up, they told me, you either take the severance package or we're going to terminate you. And I said, on what grounds? And they said, I don't know, we'll make something up. Well, Vinny, guess what? I recorded all the conversations I had with all the executives. I was wired going into these meetings off property. And if I hadn't done that, and if I hadn't, taken, I guess, the appropriate measures to document everything that I was doing, I would have just been kicked out to the curb. And what saved me and what allowed me to actually prosecute a $200 million class action lawsuit against Coca-Cola. I essentially at that point became an employee advocate. And then since then, I've been a consumer advocate, a homeowner advocate, and I have not stopped. And I continue to this day with this microphone to stand up for the little guy at all costs, period. That's my long story short.
So it's like the scene in Fight Club when he burns his hand with a chemical burn. Yeah, it reminds him, it's only after you lost everything that you're really free to do anything.
That's right. I operate with tremendous freedom. I say whatever the heck I want to say, but for the right reasons. Because if you have integrity and you have the right intentions for really the masses, the American people is what I represent. I don't represent a corporate interest. I'll go up against our federal government, which has become tyrannical. I call for absolute all-out peaceful revolution. We can do this peacefully. It's our greatest weapon is this mass awakening that we have going on. So what I'm contributing to is to wake up, even if I have to wake up one person every single day, that's exactly what my objective is, awaken them to the reality.
I feel like I'm becoming part of the Santilli crime family here.
it's a mass mafia.
That's right.
It's a crime of mass proportions. We're actually going to legalize it very soon.
Will it be available in coffee shops?
If you'd like to, yeah, we can package it up. Sell the mass awakening.
Yeah. And this is another idea. I'm a salesman too. And just like you, kind of get promoted and go all up, make heaps of money. Dig this, right? You know how the American dream is you work real hard and you'll make you'll make enough money to be rich, right? And then all your dreams will come true. Well, I found out that it's you work real hard and your boss becomes rich and the rest of your money gets taken away through taxation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know that the working hard American dream, you know what the American dream is about? And I know this and I can articulate this very, very easily. It's called carrot dangling. And you know the pyramidal scheme that you typically hear about? We call them Ponzi's or we'll call them a pyramid. The American dream is about the people at the very, very top of the pyramid convincing everyone at the bottom that they can scratch and claw their way on up to the top, knowing full well that there's no room for all of us at the top. But they earn the money and they reap the rewards of everyone scratching and clawing their way up to the top. It's just a method of creating a lot of energy down at the bottom so they can acquire the most amount of wealth in the shortest period of time during their lifetime, and they're gone. They're gone. There's not enough room for us at the top, sir. And that's a fact.
Kind of like the Titanic. It's going down, and there's only so many lifeboats. Sorry. You're third class. Yeah. First class woman and children first.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So, here's the thing. A lot of people are leaving America. Okay. My producer told me that this lawyer who handles rescinded passports and things like that, it went up from, I think it was like 10,000 U.S. passports rescinded in an average year to like a million. It jumped that much in a year after the re-election of Barack H. Obama. And you just wonder, man, is there like some kind of a freaking biblical exodus going on in the United States? Are people that afraid that the flood of financial terrorism is coming down on them that hardly that they all got to get the frack out of there?
You know what? I almost left, Vinny. I almost left a year ago. I literally got so disgusted with the fact that everyone has been so brainwashed. I was on social media. I was one of the top 30 people on Twitter when Twitter was first launched. I mean, I have a lot of, you know, pretty big social media presence. But nobody was really paying attention to what's happening with our economy, things coming crashing down. And they were all talking about recovery, how things were going to get better, and I needed to think positive. And I said, oh, my goodness, we are just so far gone. We need our people to be awakened to this stuff. And I said, I'm going to give it one last shot here. And I put the word out and I said, look, I'm thinking about leaving the country. I'm thinking about just quitting politics. And I received a really good response to it. And I said, if I do this radio show thing, I need your guys' support. And I haven't looked back. I mean, ever since December of last year. But I would say every single week I have to consider whether or not I stay here and whether or not these people want to fight with me or whether I leave the country. Because ultimately it's going to be the people that are going to determine whether or not we survive this thing, whether or not we are in charge after the collapse. That's the decision that needs to be made. Who's going to be in charge? The people that created the collapse or us?
Well, the word anarchy, ana meaning the absence of, archy meaning ruler. It's just no rulers. Doesn't mean no rules.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, look, if suddenly the speed limit was changed to 400 miles an hour. How many people do you think would actually go, oh, yeah, let's try to get it for 400 miles an hour? A couple? But most people would just go, you know, I got kids in the car, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be responsible.
Right.
However, I think that the responsibility aspect has been systematically wiped away in a baby diaper sense of the word. For Americans in general, it's like the work ethic has gone. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. The work ethic is gone. But you know, back to that pyramidal thing, and you refer to anarchy. Anarchy for most people when they hear that, I mean, you and I know how powerful anarchy is, and how we know it. But how we should describe it is back to that pyramidal thing. It's giving the power of control and giving the power of ruling our lives to the people down at the bottom of the pyramid, saying, look, you guys need to realize there's not enough room for you at the top. You need to find out where what your role is and where your place is in this pyramid. But not everybody's going to make it to the top of this pyramid. So where are you going to be? How are we going to take care of ourselves? Because the guys at the top, couldn't care less about how rich we are at the bottom. So anarchy is giving that power and control to the people at the bottom of the pyramid, right? We can take care of our own lives. Just don't mess with us and don't take our shit.
Yeah, and that was the... I apologize to the affiliates for the FCC violation bomb there, but I wanted three pieces of legislation to be introduced. Okay. Firstly being the Don't Touch Nobody or Steal Their Shoe or Steal Their Stuff Act. The second one would be the Suppression of Scumbaggery Act. And the third one would be the Prohibition on Any Frickin' Further Legislation Act.
Yeah.
How about we just keep it simple? I mean, look, robots only need three laws, don't they? Apparently.
That's right.
But apparently we need a million. What are we, that much more complex an organism?
And by the way, I apologize for dropping the Shiite bomb. But yeah, two rules, right? Don't mess with us and don't take our stuff. The ultimate laws. But ultimately, you know, our constitution, and you folks, from what I understand, don't have a constitution, correct?
Well, we do, but most New Zealanders aren't even aware of its existence, have not read it, it's not taught in schools. It's kind of like a secret constitution, really, because we got taken over by an unconstitutional government in like 1902 with some new trading flag or some stuff. It's a long story.
Uh-huh. So if you do have a constitution, I'm sure it was formulated based on the mistakes that they made down here as far as the powers to be are concerned. How not to have a constitution. We'll implement it in New Zealand. But, you know, the constitution, and I call myself a constitutionalist, I believe we have certain inalienable, God-given rights. Really, when you were born naked, you had certain rights. And I believe that all countries should have some piece of paper that says, let's just preserve those things. We were born with certain things. We had freedoms. We have expression. And we need to preserve those things and not have a government interfere with those. And that's what makes me a constitutionalist, is that document actually protects those God-given rights, whoever your God is, right?
Well, I don't know about you, but I pray to our Lord and Savior, Raptor Jesus, because he went extinct for my sins.
There you go. Yeah. That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about faith, this occurred to me yesterday, Pete, is that faith is simply a reality bender, okay? Even though you're trapped in a POW camp and there's no hope of escape, no hope of rescue, if you had a strong belief in God, and this happened in Vietnam veterans, you're kind of like 90% more likely to survive than somebody who got no faith. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah,
all right?
That's right.
It can bend reality to your will, having faith either in a higher power, having faith in other people, or having faith in yourself. It's an unbreakable thing. But just as faith can bend the world around you, it can, if you've got it, you can be bent by people who know how to manipulate your faith.
That's right.
And we currently have a lot of faith in people that perhaps do or don't deserve our faith. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, that's right. By the way, incidentally, I want to let you know that I'm a recovering Roman Catholic. I'm a devout, I've always been a devout Roman Catholic growing up. And my spirituality and my faith in myself is probably the most spiritual thing, because I've been so let down by those others that aren't deserving of having that access to my spirituality, right? Because they capitalize on it, they manipulate it, they exploit that powerful thing about all of us.
Well, and that's one of the satanic principles, isn't it? You know, I mean, as above, so below. And so if there's scumbags at the top manipulating our faith or whatever with massive cult congregations, I guarantee you there's little small replicas of that across every industry, every sector. You know, like, we're sitting in a nest, ladies and gentlemen, a whirling sinkhole, if you will, of constant, consistent scumbaggery. And we have to wind up being the ones that actually stick in the mud, stop that whirlpool from swirling around and getting sucked into it. You know what I'm saying? Put your anchors down, have faith in yourself, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, much like the cowboy hero standing for freedom, truth, and justice and fighting corruption wherever we find it, even from within our own ranks. And I want to preface this conversation by kind of acknowledging who my guest is, Pete Santilli from ThePeteSantilliShow.com. I mean, many of you may have heard of Bill Cooper, and if you haven't, jeepers, creepers, listen to a show or two. Ha, man, you really must. Have you noticed that so many of the greatest people that have inspired us and really advanced the world somewhat are already dead? And like Bill Hicks, George Carlin, those people who've kind of evolved comedy or whatever, they're gone. And I feel an intense feeling of loss. I mean, I just watched a George Carlin and a Bill Hicks comedy gig yesterday. And you feel this enormous loss kind of thing that, you know, I'll never get to speak with them. I'll never get to meet them. These guys have inspired me so much. Another person who inspired me so much to get out into the field and thing like that was Alex Jones. His radio show, I was absolutely addicted. His documentaries really woke me up. But I wasn't going out handing out DVDs or sending people to Infowars.com only. I was going out to protests of my own accord, filming the people with the microphones, the megaphones, the people who normally only get audio nibbled away into nothingness by the mainstream media, and allowing them to expand and to talk and to lay out facts, details. And very rapidly I began to formulate a minute understanding of what was really going on here in New Zealand. And I credit a lot of my awakening and activation to anger, rage at the system, which was spurred on by Alex Jones and kind of encouraged me. And now that I have my own radio show, now that I am doing all of this, the anger and the rage subsided. And now I just want to have laughs and listen to what people have to say and be as open and honest as I can. Now, Pete, you had a job offer by GCN Network not too long ago, didn't you? And you've done a show, a 2.5-hour show that I've heard exposing Alex Jones. And it puts a knot in your stomach, like a bitter pill. But all bitter pills are the ones that are the good for the good of your health, I think. So if you'd expand and share with my audience as well what you've already shared with yours, and maybe even something more, I'd be much obliged.
Oh, yeah, you know, but my awakening, what originally brought me to Alex Jones, believe it or not, was, about 10 years ago, I was listening to Gerald Celente and I think Bob Chapman. And I was really into the financial side. I was making really good money. I was concerned about our currency. Even since I was back, you know, in the military, I knew that we were going to have problems with our currency. Even back then, I knew that was coming. So these guys introduced me to Alex Jones. I landed in Alex Jones's lap through them. Next thing you know, he starts talking about some pretty wild stuff. And I wasn't totally awakened, but, you know, speeding all the way up, I've listened to him every day for the past 10 years, up until recently. And last December, he was the one that was screaming on the radio saying, I cannot do this all by myself. I need you InfoWarriors to get out there and make things happen. Grab a microphone, get a show started. That's how my show started. My show started literally because he said, you've got to do something. We're in critical times. And he inspired me to do the show. And I said, you know what? He's absolutely right. I'm just going to do it face first. I had no listeners. The first show I recorded, I'm standing here in front of this goofy microphone, talking to nobody. And I said, I have no listeners. And I started with nothing. And I built it. And I started building it more and more. I started learning more and more. Next thing you know, the show starts developing because I had a pretty powerful message. It started out with a lot of anger, Vinny. I'm going to tell you that. I did have, and let me tell you this. This is what I described to my listeners, is that they have literally watched me awaken to a lot of things. They've watched me over 206, almost 60 episodes. They've watched me awaken right in front of their eyes. And guess what else happens when you awaken? You go through emotional phases. You actually start out lashing in anger, and you don't know how to talk to anybody. You're out just yelling, 9/11, World Trade Center 7, blah, 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 you know, and you're just, and they're looking at you like you're crazy. Like, what's wrong with you, guy? So I learned not only how to awaken, how to go fact find, but I learned how to talk to people. And this happened over the past 260 episodes. What, another thing that I was exposed to, and here's the lead up to the Alex Jones thing. I had information that was not only confidential, I actually put my life on the line because I had exposure in my work in the military to Rex 84. I don't know if you know what that is, but Rex 84 was the Readiness Exercise 84. That was the plan that was put together for developing what we have now through FEMA. So I took Rex 84 and all that top secret information relative to, you know, my job function, which was nuclear weaponry, nuclear, bio, and chemical. So I had access to all this stuff as to what we were going to do during martial law, as to how we would transport weapons from bases into deep underground military bases. And I went to Alex Jones with that. And it just so happens that prior to that, I had signed an agreement with Genesis Communications. I had basically a show with them. They put me in contact with Alex's producer. I said, I have some hot stuff. I want to release this exclusively with Alex. And you know what he did? And I'm going to tell you this long story short. I discovered in a very, very short period of time, Vinny, that the man that I had trusted so much and had basically just trusted his word. He was the man. He was the 9/11, you know, truth movement guy. And I put so much trust in this guy. But I discovered very quickly that he was actually gathering and extracting information. And at the last second, he would pull people from the show. He did this to me, and I was kind of wondering about it. Well, I'm a little bit smarter than the average bear. I found out that he did the same thing to the IRS agents that had been working with him for over a year. They had insider information about a multi-billion-dollar scheme. He would gather the information and lure them along with the prospects of putting them on the show. And then what he would do is cancel the appearance. So I said to myself, there's a pattern here that's being developed. This developing a pattern here that's being displayed that I don't like. And that's when I started mentioning these things to people on air. And guess what? They introduced me to Bill Cooper. A matter of months ago, I actually started listening to Bill Cooper and what happened to Bill Cooper. And that's when my awakening really kicked in and accelerated. And I said, you know what? I said, there is and it hurt my heart to say this. And I'm not even saying this to be dramatic. It literally, I struggled with this. I said, there is a possibility that just based on what I know personally and firsthand, based on these experiences and what people are telling me, that Alex Jones might not be exactly what he is, what I thought he was. And I said, that's very, very disappointing. But you know what? I am a man of integrity. I always have been. I went up against Coca-Cola in a $200 million class action lawsuit on principle. I fought them. I've always stood on integrity and those principles that have gotten me, you know, to where I've been today, where I've gotten today. And I said, I'm not about to compromise my integrity just because I have an agreement with Genesis Communications. And what I did was I said, I need to expose this guy. And I need to tell my listeners who I'm loyal to. I'm not loyal to anyone else. I'm loyal to my listeners. I need to be able to go to them to tell them what I know about Alex Jones, and to do so very openly. And I said, I can't do that if I'm under the Genesis umbrella. What I did was I decided to tear up the contract. I sent them a letter. They knew which direction I was heading because I started asking them questions about how much I could criticize Alex Jones. I was told not to do it because other talk show hosts such as Jeff Rentz, had done the same thing, and he was actually kicked to the curb. So I said, okay, I'm going to terminate my agreement, and I went forward. And I haven't looked back ever since. So this is within a matter of several weeks back. You're getting this almost fresh. This happened a matter of weeks ago. I canceled my contract with Genesis Communications so that I could expose the truth to my listeners.
Have you received backlash from this?
You know, I've received backlash from, believe it or not, the people that I fear the most are the people that follow Alex Jones so blindly. The backlash that I've received is from his listeners, his loyalists.
Okay. Well, let's talk about more of this after the break. We'll have about an hour to expand on it. And one thing that I always wanted to embody in myself about a radio show host is that I don't want my listeners to be loyal to me if I'm not loyal to them. And I always see myself as the bad guy, because if I see myself as the bad guy rather than the good guy, it means I won't start doing bad things in the name of doing the right thing. In other words, I won't turn out to be the very evil that I started to expose with the very pure intention. The worst thing that you could ever happen, in my opinion, to me, would be if I became a cult of personality and people hung off my every word and believed everything that I say. No, I'm a human man. I'm wrong. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. On the points we agree we should come together on, collaborate. On the points that we disagree, we should probably leave those maybe for another time. Perhaps a time when we're not about to be ruthlessly exterminated and economically depressed by a globalist network of scumbaggery filthmongers who just want to destroy everything. You know, that's what I feel. Competition? Nah. I mean, competition, sure. You wind up getting the best out of the best, and people are competing against each other. Collaboration is about cutting your ego in half, the person next to you cutting their ego in half, and leaving that at the door. When you combine those two halves that you still got left, and together, you become something greater than you could either of you be by yourself. That's what collaboration is truly about. And I have done so much of it in the truth movement, met so many amazing people who have gone on to be great friends and confidants, who at times I have been in bad situations, psychologically speaking, and sought their wise counsel. This is something that I'd like to share with people. You can be a millionaire in two ways, or you can be rich in two ways. Millionaire, we have $1 million in the bank, And you have maybe two or three people to do anything for them. And you do anything for them. I want to instead have $2 or $3 in the bank and have 1 million people who would do anything for me that I would do anything for as well if they really needed it. And sometimes people say things that are dangerous, even though they're true. And that's really what the truth actually is. And if you're not willing to lay it all out on the line, get out of the kitchen, because the heat is too hot for people who want to mince words in this movement. This is why I feel so privileged to be speaking with Pete Santilli today from the PeteSantilliShow.com. Welcome back, mate.
Thanks for having me. It really is a pleasure to be here. I asked you to come on my show, I believe, in collaboration as well, to the point to where, I mean, you have your audience. They feel comfortable with you. You've built your network of individuals that you all, and I call my listeners, we're part of a community of people that we're like-minded individuals. But if we could actually bring our two communities together, it's not necessarily competition. You're not going to steal my people. You have your thing. If people like you more, I mean, that's it is what it is. But in this day and age, it's much more important for us to share our communities and to really to share our listenership. Really, I'd love to bring you on my show. I have no problem. I mean, people like your show and they want to go over there, they can enjoy the both of us. But I believe that you have 1 million. I have 1 million. That's actually 2 million. Awakened individuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Much larger.
And in business and networking, networking's for two things. Number one, so you can meet new people that you can accomplish things with. Number two is so you can hook people up that you already know who might be able to collaborate together up with each other. Okay, so that they can go off and grow in their own way, and you've simply made the connection for them. You take no credit, you take no responsibility. They go off and they do whatever. Essentially, it's about helping whoever needs it, you know, and making connections where they can be made, and standing on common ground where common ground can be found.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of this coin is the thing that has distressed me. And I don't know about you, but I've talked with many business suit types and politicians and word mincers of varying sizes, categories, and degrees. And you know what? The conversation barely ever progresses to a place where I would like to, because there's no straightforward, right between the eyes, honesty. And that's all we've really got to bring back in order to get all of the crap in our system out of here, is just tell the freaking truth about it. I mean, you may have a lot to lose. What was it? Patriotism is kind of like telling an unpopular truth and having people throw tomatoes and cabbage at you for a decade of your life, and then afterwards everybody realizes that you are correct and it costs them nothing to be a patriot.
Mm. That's awesome. Yeah, that's powerful.
What does it feel like to be in your position, to come out, openly criticize Alex Jones, and then have his listeners come out and attack you back?
You know what? Here's where I'm winning this battle in the following regard. And talking about community, it has everything to do with that. My listenership is exploding on the following principle. And I talked about this awakening that I've gone through right in front of everyone. When I learned, if it weren't for the Alex Jones situation, I would not have learned about Bill Cooper. When I learned about Bill Cooper, I heard him make the following statements. And I share this with everybody and I tell everyone, don't you dare trust me in the same way that I trusted Alex Jones, because one day you might be disappointed. I heard from Bill Cooper, trust absolutely nobody. Read and listen to everything and only believe what you've researched yourself. And I've been teaching everybody that. And when I call them my community of people, it's not Pete Santilli at the top of the pyramid. This is Pete Santilli with a microphone that's able to convey just about everything that everyone else is feeling. But we trust nobody. We read and listen to everything. And we only believe what we've researched ourselves. And guess what? That's a free mind, an individual person that is awakened. And I'll tell you what, the people at the top of that pyramid, they have weapons, they have war, they have debt slavery, They have lies. They have deception. And they have a small group of people that understand those secrets. But our greatest weapon that we have right now is an awakened population. We can overcome with millions of people that say, you know what? Big middle finger to all of you. We're going to take away your money. It's our money. We spend our money. We earn our money. We're no longer going to give it to you. You're done. And that will be the peaceful revolution, that day when it'll be over for that select few 4,000 or 5,000 people that think that they control us with deception.
So bringing this back around to Alex Jones, what has he actually done that makes him a deceiver or a bad guy in your eyes?
Well, you know, I was talking about the, and I'm, you know what, I'm not just saying this to bash Alex Jones. I'm talking about an individual like myself that discovered the truth through him about 9/11, World Trade Center 7, and all those things that we learned about the truth. And he says that he's a truth teller. And then I started realizing that there were some disturbing patterns. And I realized what he had done to me personally. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, all right? Suzanne Posel is an investigative journalist. She actually helped me put together an article that contained very key information that the government would not want to have go to his millions of listeners. Very key information. And when, now she was writing for him. She was a contributor to Infowars.com. She would send up her articles two or three a day and he would publish everything. Her traffic was going to her site. The day that we sent that article up through her, guess what happened? He withheld it. And we're like, what the heck's going on? I put stuff in that article that needs to go to tens of millions of people. Why would he withhold that? Not only did he withhold that, but 1 hour prior to my interview, I showed him a document 1 hour prior and he pulled me from the interview. I said, what the heck is happening with that? Listen to this, Benny. I was contacted, I can't say who it was, by one of those IRS agents who said, Alex Jones did the same thing. What he does is he extracts information from people and he lures you along right until the last possible moment. You give him all of your information and then he says, breaking news story. The day that he pulled me from the show, he said, we have breaking news. I listened to my segment. He was taking callers. I said, what the heck is going on here? He did it to Tila Tequila. He did it to Pete Santilli. He did it to the IRS agents. Then I did some investigation, and I awakened to Alex Jones. And I said to myself, oh, my goodness, this guy, including his websites, how he lures the interviewees in, I believe that he might be what I call a honeypot who attracts, you know, like bears like me that want to go there and stick my paw in the honeypot. And then essentially, he uses that information for, you know, for things that we're not fully aware of. So I was very disturbed by it.
What are those things that we're not fully aware of that he's trying to promote?
This is my personal opinion, and I will spend the rest of my living days trying to make this connection, okay? Alex Jones, his advertisers, okay, are what I call Zionists. What I mean by Zionists, I'm not talking about, you know, anti-Semitic, anti-Judaism, okay? They're Zionists who are very, very wealthy. They're funding him. We've done an extensive background into Alex Jones. We know that he has money coming from outside of his normal resource. And this is factual information, by the way. He may have, in my opinion, connections to Stratford. He may be filtering information to Stratford. I believe that, and I'm going to spend every single moment trying to make that connection. If we find him out, I want to out him, okay? I wanted to be able to investigate that matter. I have already looked into his finances. He's getting funding from outside sources. Why is that? I don't know. Vinny, I'm absolutely floored by everything that I'm learning about this guy. But Alex Jones is not who he says he is. And that's what I've learned up to this point. And I want to be able to expose it. That's the truth, and that's my loyalty to my listeners. I'll give them the truth, whether you like it or not.
Well, the road to the truth is simply realizing that the road you're currently on is a lie.
Yeah, it hurt me to find this stuff out. But the man that I've been listening to for 10 years, he's got some stuff going on in the background. And everybody needs to know that.
Pete, I can relate to that, man. I mean, when you come here to American Freedom Radio, there's a long history And Danny Romero, who owns American Freedom Radio, will probably tell you this this history privately, but he'll never come on air and tell of the history between American Freedom Radio and Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Suffice to say, it's almost a banned topic on this network. Okay, I'm not allowed to talk about him in general.
Mm-hmm.
Or pretty much at all.
I understand.
And it's not like I'll endure horrific consequences for it from the network. I was warned that when Alex sees somebody who's competitive with him, that he brings them in, you know. Like with Jason Burmis, for instance, he made a loose change, became really huge and stuff like that. So Alex Jones saw his great success and then brought him in and he gave him the show as the Info Warrior. So he's really adept at finding the best and the brightest out there and getting them to work for him.
Mm.
And that in itself is not an evil thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And it's not entirely dissimilar from how Danny Romero works. He spots talent and he demands that they come on the network and he'll give them a show so that they can work with him. So this is the way things are done.
Right.
What else has happened, though, is, let's say, Jack Blood. If you've ever spoken to Jack Blood about this, he's still raw about his times back in the day. Like, he was sitting across the dinner table from a friend of his, and his cell phone rings, and it's Alex Jones. And he says, this friend of yours, and, you know, he's sitting right there, is trying to sabotage you, Jack. He's trying to mess with your career. He's saying bad things about you behind your back, this, that, and the other. And Jack's looking at his friend going, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, Alex, it's cool. All right, thanks, man. See ya. And then his friend across the table, his cell phone rings, and it's Alex Jones. And he says, Jack Blood's been sabotaging your career. He's been saying bad things about you behind your back. He's been messing you around, et cetera, et cetera. And it was at that moment that Jack Blood realized, or at least to his mind, that Alex Jones not only knows the tactics of the New World Order, of divide and conquer, of manipulation and propaganda. He uses them, those tactics, on other truthers.
Mm.
And that story that Jack told me, and Jack has since come out on YouTube and stuff like that, everybody can watch the videos.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Pete, that not in the pit of your stomach. It's like finding out that your father's a pedophile or something like that. You know, oh, my God, I never knew. It was like standing on solid ground and having a great earthquake shake the land and a massive chasm suddenly splits and something that you thought was all together is suddenly ripped apart. That's what it felt like in my heart. Hearing that.
Can I play something for you?
Yeah.
This is what I was told when I started mentioning Alex Jones. I had some questions. I actually went public. I said, he's not putting me on the show. I started learning about Bill Cooper. This was weeks ago. You want to hear this? But listen to this. When I heard this and I found out the story about...
We've only got about 30 seconds.
Here it is. Listen.
Alex Jones, you are a bold-faced, miserable, stinking little coward liar. Now let me say that again so there's no mistake about it. You can all tell Alex Jones that I said this, and I suspect he's listening because he does. Alex Jones, you are a bold-faced, stinking, rotten little coward.
That quotation, when I started hearing about Bill Cooper and Alex Jones, that's when I really woke up. And I said, a lot of things are happening. It's going on to this day. After your break, I want to tell you about a couple of things that have happened recently that we need to share with our listeners. Absolutely.
Bitter pills to swallow are the healthiest kind, ladies and gentlemen. If you're feeling incensed, inflamed, upset, or sick because of what you're hearing tonight, join the club. We're feeling that way too. We felt that way before. But it's better to tell the truth that will hurt than heal, than the lie that will comfort than kill. We'll be right back.
For their tables where they also have it with suckling babies that they have an apple stuffed in their mouth where they feed it to people like David Rockefeller. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, one and all, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And also, you can catch up all the archives on the YouTube channel, of which there's a little eugenics button on the website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And my favorite special guest is Pete Santilli from the PeteSantilliShow.com. Welcome back.
Hey, Vinny Boombots. You know what I say? I say leave the gun, take the cannolis.
And go to the mattresses.
That's a great Godfather rendition. That's awesome. Actually, you pumped me up. You know I'm from New York, right? Italian from New York?
It occurred to me.
That's great. Hey, it's great to be
back. Make you feel at home.
Yeah, true story. I've lived a very clean life, very honest, ethical life, but I can't say that for the rest of my family. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Speaking of living a clean life, back onto the Alex Jones saga, you were talking about Bill Cooper over the break and things like this, and he was like the last guy to go up against Alex Jones, and people warned you know what happened to him. Could you expand on that for the audience?
You know, and I was told about Bill Cooper. They said be careful with Alex Jones. And look, remember what I told you? I'm a former United States Marine, so United States Marines have zero fear. Now, my producer at GCN was telling me, don't criticize Alex Jones, don't cross the line, because, you know, that also happened with Jeff Rentz, and he was canned immediately. Alex is very powerful. So I said, okay. Anyways, I cut the cord on him. I found out about Bill Cooper. And this is what I was able to research on my own. Essentially, Alex Jones threw Bill Cooper under the bus. Bill Cooper, very sharp guy, was on his little dinky show, talking about what was coming as far as his 9/11 predictions. And just like Glenn Beck did to Alex Jones did that to Bill Cooper. Now, can I put the two together? Well, let's put it this way. Within, we'll say, days of Bill Cooper making those comments, a matter of days, shortly thereafter, Bill Cooper had passed away and was murdered. Bill Cooper was murdered. And there's factual information that shows that he took three bullets to the head at point-blank range. Bill Cooper was. So, Bill Cooper, a truth teller, somebody that went head-to-head with Alex Jones. The bottom line was, the spat that went back and forth, I viewed videos that had Alex Jones's voice talking about Bill Cooper, and it was just a flat-out lie. He was lying about Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper, I found to be a patriot that was telling the truth as I was hearing it. And I found it very disturbing that Alex would be, you know, so bad to this guy. But Bill Cooper ended up getting murdered. So is there a connection? I don't know. It's a big question mark in everybody's mind. They were telling me to be careful. Don't end
up. What were the circumstances around his murder? I heard some kind of a rumor that there was some guys in a pickup truck tearing up his front lawn or something like that, and he went out with a gun and got shot.
You know, I mean, we know how these things unravel. This is what I do know. The big picture is he actually had, he owed money to the IRS, and they actually staged it so that, you know, they send these law enforcement guys out. They don't know about Bill Cooper. They haven't listened to all of his episodes. They don't know who this guy is. And he was armed at all times. And Bill Cooper was outside. He was lured outside for some fake scenario. And law enforcement said, make sure he doesn't go back into that house. And he was armed. And I guess something occurred where these guys, these law enforcement people, ended up in a gunfight with him. And obviously, Bill Cooper lost. But they were going after him for taxes. That was known.
Okay. That reminds me of Tupac's uncle. He was hiding from the cops one time. He was involved with the Black Panthers, hiding with his friend in his house, and not in his own house, of course, because he was under surveillance. And they slept on the floor. One night, New York police turned up, shot up the whole front of the house, didn't hit them because they were on the floor, and said, come out of the house, you know, spotlights all on it. And he says to his mate, you know, dude, you got to come out naked, buck naked, okay? If you're wearing anything, they'll say you got a gun on you and they'll shoot you. So he strips off, comes out completely naked, in the spotlights, 40 guns trained on him, not a shot fired. His friend didn't listen to him, took his shirt off, came out wearing his pants, was shot and killed. COINTELPRO. They're real nasty pieces of work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. These people at the upper end, and I call them the Illuminati, the Rothschilds, the people that control the money, that fund both sides of wars. These people have enough money to not just fund both sides of wars, but they have the ability to set up their own mercenaries, their own armies of assassins. And this goes on. This is not a conspiracy theory. It is a fact. They send people out to do these things. Bill Cooper did not fear them. And Bill Cooper died by their bullets. And that is a fact, that Bill Cooper died by their bullets. Now, was Alex Jones connected to that? All I do know is that Alex Jones stole Bill Cooper's 9/11 information, brought it on air on his big radio station. Bill Cooper went head-to-head with him, called him a liar, and shortly thereafter, Bill Cooper ended up dying. Those are facts. You can connect whatever you want to connect. But I have big questions about that.
So let's see if we can bring this around here. Let's say Alex Jones is theoretically COINTELPRO, okay, part of this apparatus, the same people who demonize and destroy and co-opt reputations and things of that nature and put themselves into the powerful position so that they can control the debate, right? Mm-hmm. There's this practice, I think it's in Islam, I believe, among goat herders. It's called a Judas goat, where they will lavish one particular goat of the herd, usually the largest, the strongest, the most looked up to by all of the other goats, to be essentially highly trained and the direct pet of the goat herd. And when it came to harvest, where they wanted to get the meat off the goats, they would click their fingers and the Judas goat would go into a corral. All the other goats would follow him. Be stuck inside there, and he walks out to have the gate closed behind him and have all the rest of them trapped. That's what a friend of mine, John Eisen from Uncensored Magazine, believes Alex Jones is. To kind of capture and corral the veterans and the patriots and things like that and leave them for dead. Now, I don't know what evidence we could really put down for that, because in my opinion, you need to follow the money, right? So if you've got documents that say Alex Jones, got given this such and such money from this such and such person who's connected with this such and such Department of Defense organization, et cetera, then it becomes pretty clear cut. The problem is it's very rare to find that kind of thing. Because even if they do exist, and even if they do exist in great number, there's such a thing as classification and so much secrecy. And I'm not casting any aspersions here. I'm openly saying I don't know, but you know I just want to question this and whatever. I mean, maybe I'm the Judas goat. you know?
You know what I'll say? I'll say that if Alex Jones is who he's always said he is, he would love the questions that we're asking. That only he can answer. If we don't have access to his direct connection between him and Stratfor. Stratfor, very powerful. Look them up. Does Stratfor have a direct pipeline into his systems? Does Stratfor have the ability to screw up radio talk shows that are about to go on air with information that they don't want you to know about from Tila Tequila? Absolutely. Can they nuke your computers? Absolutely. Does Alex Jones ever receive any money from sources outside of his regular money bombs? That's actually documented. Does Alex Jones have investors and advertisers that would not want us talking about Zionism anywhere on his show? That's absolutely a fact. He has a large number of advertisers, and this is a fact, that would not want us disclosing anything about Patrick Clawson and the Washington Institute and talking about Zionism. And that's why Alex Jones has withheld those articles. Vinny, can I share a couple things with you?
Yeah.
Ever since I started waking up to this thing, so people were saying, Pete, he didn't let you on the show. You were upset. I'm like, no, I'm not upset. I wanted to get this information out. I believe that his listeners, tens of millions of people, I believe that they need to know the truth about what I was going to present on the show. But let's set me aside. But let's take a look at a couple things. When he's not publishing articles, he's withholding articles from Suzanne Posel, just because he publishes all of her articles except for the ones that mention Zionism, Patrick Clawson, and false flag attacks. He doesn't want that to go on his website. This is Alex Jones, the man that would love to exploit a story like that. He withholds it. He withheld that article. Big question mark goes up in my mind. A big question mark goes up in my mind. You want to hear this, Vinny? This stunned me, and I hope it stuns you. Do you know who Dr. Judy Wood is?
Yeah.
Dr. Judy Wood, this hurt me deep inside. I have been listening to Alex Jones for 10 years. Never once have I heard him mention anything about dustification and toasting of the cars or any of the factual evidence that she's been able to dig up on her own. Never once have I heard Alex Jones mention any of that evidence. All he mentions is that how the government was bad, they wired the buildings, it was an inside job. Never once did he mention anything about dustification or anything that Judy Wood has looked up on her own.
He does mention Judy Wood, though. He has a nickname for her because he can't mention her name on air in an insulting way, otherwise she can sue him. So he calls her Marvin the Martian because the voices are a little bit similar.
He has a pattern of doing that. He called Bill Cooper. He said that the reason why he wouldn't bring Bill Cooper on was because he was talking about UFOs. Well, you know, Alex Jones has brought people on that believe in UFOs. He's never held anybody back in that regard. But that's the pattern that he establishes. If there's somebody out there that he wants to push away, if you were COINTELPRO, that's exactly what he would be doing to Bill Cooper and Dr. Judy Wood.
So let's have a look at the cases of COINTELPRO, how it works. I mean, Tupac's probably my favorite incidents of COINTELPRO. So they set him up by accusing him of a sexual encounter that basically was totally consensual. Okay, the classic honeypot. They demonized him in the media. They put him in solitary confinement. They offered him contracts and say, like, all this bad stuff will go away if you just sign this contract and start just doing crappy, irrelevant gangster rap. They cancel album deals. They make calls to friends and family members of him to cast aspersions about him to them so that his own family and close friends and confidants turn against him so that he kind of becomes alone. And when he gets killed, he's basically surrounded by cops who did nothing to stop the shooting. And in fact, one of the cars behind him that the shooters came out of was an undercover cop car or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So COINTELPRO is deeply nested
And it's a multifaceted thing. It's deeply nested in the entertainment industry and law enforcement. And in so doing, and politics, of course. In so doing, it means that anybody who winds up getting an enormous amount of influence, a large fan base, or whatever, they need to minimize, isolate, and if necessary, terminate that threat. And it works in such a fashion.
And one more element. Plausible deniability, making sure that you scrub any connections between you and the person you're about to take out.
Mm. Oh, and there's also one more element as well, is to make you go nuts, to do all this crazy stuff to you so that you'll start freaking out and things like that, and you'll start to appear crazy to other people, right? Have you heard of the RZA from Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah.
Last time he appeared on television was at like a music awards ceremony or something like that. He grabs the camera right next to him and he speaks into it and he looks really crazy with wild eyes and he says, "They're trying to kill me, they're trying to kill me." And then he gets killed a couple of days later.
That's why I'm backing Tila Tequila. That's why I support Tila Tequila, because they will do everything to demonize her and drive her crazy.
Yeah, and well, the thing is, it's basically you and me, Pete. We're the radio show hosts that are really kind of like coming out, supporting Tila Tequila in that way. And I don't know about you, bro, but I've got this kind of male masculine thing going on, and I just see a little girl that's in deep freaking trouble from evil freaking scumbags. You just want to protect her. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City takes 22 hours. So from the
Welcome
Twin
back,
Cities,
ladies and gentlemen.
19. I mean, I fly all the time.
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest today is Pete Santilli from the Pete Santilli Show.com. And we were talking about Alex Jones and COINTELPRO and this sort of thing. And Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane suing Alex Jones as well over apparent theft of their products. And you know what, Pete? You know, let's say everybody says the same thing, okay? Either everybody's lying or it's true. And in my experience, and I've talked to a lot of people who know Alex Jones personally, even his cousin Bill Deagle and his former sit-in host Jack Blood, his former producer Danny Romero, American Freedom Radio, and a number of others, and they all say the same stuff, and that's why they no longer work with him, because of all these things that he does. But there are those who have collaborated with him for a while, Luke Rutkowski and Jason Burmes, who still maintain good relationships and whatever. I don't know. What is it about what are we even trying to accomplish here, Pete? I mean, are we saying dismantle Infowars.com and kick Alex Jones off the air and or whatever? What are we trying to accomplish here, bro? Really?
I know what I want to accomplish. And I think you share the same goal. I don't want, because there's so much money that's migrating from mainstream media, okay? Because first of all, advertisers, okay, have been spending money for Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan probably has less viewers than we have listeners. And those advertisers are going to migrate to the alternative media. Well, now we have a mainstream alternative, okay? And if there are individuals in alternative media, they're going to play the same tricks in alternative media as they were doing over there in mainstream media, I'll have none of it. I will call them out. I will call them out. Right now, if Alex Jones wants to take some of that money that's available to him to start skull-plugging everybody with his own version of the truth, I want to call him out. Our loyalty, Vinny, is to our listeners. And I'm going to tell the truth whether they like it or not. If they feel uncomfortable about me talking about their guy, Alex Jones, that's okay. But I'm going to tell them the truth.
Well, there's another interesting point. Even even though this all may be the case, and you're trying to tell the truth about it, it doesn't mean that he hasn't done a whole shockingly large amount of good. I mean, would there even be a truth movement at all if not for him?
There was. He filled a niche. He was at the right place at the right time, and he's done a lot of good. I actually credit him with awakening me. But let me give you the analogy, okay? Let's say if a very godly man in the Roman Catholic religion gets a calling. He decides to become a priest, and he does great work, and he feeds lots of people, and he stands before his congregation. He builds a church. He does all great things. But one day, he decides to start diddling a boy. Do we say, well, he's done such a great job building in his community, and look at his parishioners who are really happy with what he's taught them. We should just let him slide on that pedophilia. No, we're going to call him out right then and there and say, you've lived such a great life. You screwed it up. You really did. You made a mistake. You're going to be held accountable for it. So I believe that Alex Jones has done all of those great things. But we can't let him slide when he starts making mistakes. Can I give you one huge example recently?
Yeah.
There are people right now that should have known about one of the largest lawsuits ever in the history of mankind that has been filed and is now in federal court. It's a $43 trillion lawsuit. And Alex Jones failed to cover that for 5 or 6 days. Why is he withholding stuff from the general public? Why is he doing that? Well, let's ask another question. Are there people out there that are bringing this forward? Yes, they are. And that's to answer your question, would an alternative media exist? It sure would. Somebody else like Pete Santilli is going to come up and expose the $43 trillion lawsuit. We don't need Alex Jones. Bill Cooper would still be alive and still be exposing the truth. Alex Jones is the godfather of the truth movement because he was at the right place at the right time. I wasn't as awake as he was. But somebody else would step in. I'm not that arrogant to think that, or Alex Jones shouldn't be that arrogant to think that if it weren't for him, we wouldn't exist. We would. Well, somebody else would come up.
Well, maybe. But you have a look at the building blocks. And who made so many of those building blocks? The documentaries, the consistency of the radio show, and not all of his information is BS, and most of it's just taken from mainstream media. Titles are changed, a few details are added in, and then published, and the source is given. But that said, I don't like the idea of centralized media at all. Before the Military Commissions Act, there were 800 mainstream media outlets in the United States. There's now like 4. I think that the alternative media, there's currently like 1 million outlets or whatever, but the problem is the bulk of the audience goes to a very small margin, you know, as with most things. So it's still a concentration of power. I would prefer localization of things of that nature. Now, apparently we have some callers on the line here, so the studio tells me we've only got 5 minutes to take callers, man. It's always much too short, so we're going to give you...
Benny, can I make one more point before we take a call? Just one more point. You know, picture this. Glenn Beck tells 99% truth. That way, that one instance where he can put out 1% of what he wants to put in your brain is available to him. So Alex Jones having such a great career and being manufactured, possibly manufactured the way he is to the point to where he could actually use 99% of all that great work he's done so that he can set us all up for that 1% of stuff he wants to put into our brains. That's very dangerous.
I once was part of a cult. I didn't know it was a cult, of course. I thought that they were just sovereignty activists and things like that who were trying to set up an alternative a system so that truthers could live without paying taxation and being subjected to criminal laws and things of that nature. And it turns out this guy was just using everybody. He was coming in, pretending to be an activist, named Shane Wenzel or Tane Rakau, And I realized this, that not only was I being used as an activist and a filmmaker, but so many other of my friends, confidants, and things of that nature had also had dealings with this guy because they didn't know how much of a violent, lying, manipulative, sociopathic, pedophile piece of trash this guy was. And to this date, I am the only person who has gone down there with a camera, filmed him insulting me and my friend for all the activists to see so that they will never have their time wasted by this pathetic slime. And I put myself at risk so that others would not have to pay the same mistakes and bear the same burdens as I. Now, we're only going to have about maybe 60 seconds per caller, so we're going to go to our first one now, if the thing will even work. It won't. Okay, we're having a problem with the caller line. We're not going to take callers. Sorry, Chris in Florida. Sorry, Elizabeth. There's something weird and error-statistic going on. Wait a second. It just seems to have resolved itself, and we've got you both unmuted. Chris?
I'm Elizabeth. I'm going to be really, really brief with all this. If anybody needed any sort of validation that what you guys are saying is the absolute truth, about a week and a half ago on a Monday night, the alternative third-party libertarian candidates were holding a debate in Chicago. And so I turned on the AJ and nothing, not word one. Now, you've got a million listeners, 2 million, 3 million, whatever you're saying, and there's a debate that night that nobody knows about with your third-party candidates, and you have the ability to potentially sway an entire election, and you don't mention one word about it. That to me tells me a lot. Secondly, real quick, the next day,
Elizabeth,
word.
Exactly. And we mentioned that on the show as well. Elizabeth, thank you for your call. And now, Chris in Florida, yep.
Hey, Vinny, how are you? You got to do another show on this so I can organize my facts because I know everything about Bill Cooper. I consider myself a Bill Cooper protege. The main reason why Bill was angry at Alex was for two reasons. One was on Y2K. He said that Alex whipped everybody up into a frenzy and that it could have led to the government and the people fighting with each other. Bill was in the militia. He didn't. He set up a trust for his family, and he didn't pay his income taxes, and he walked the walk. And Alex does pay his income taxes, and he basically said, Alex is smart. I don't know if he's a COINTELPRO or not, but he whips the people up into a frenzy, and he says things that are true. He just pulls things off the facts and reads them without fact-checking them, and that was his major beef with him. The way that they set him up was, they didn't really have anything to go on. It was the police posing as
posing as what, man? Quickly, come on, we're coming up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dressed as kids to lure him out of his house, and the details of how he was shot and killed were very fallacious. They said he was firing over his shoulder. He had one bad leg that was amputated, and there was no way he would have fired over his shoulder and hit one of the cops in the head. And they didn't allow ambulance or anything for 3 hours to make sure he died.
All right, Chris, thank you for your call, man. All right, Pete Santilli from the Pete Santilli Show. Ladies and gentlemen, check him out, I implore. Yay! And also check out the archives at the YouTube channel. We're having a problem with our archiving at the moment at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. I'll let you know when it's resolved. But yeah, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, Pete, thank you so much, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen,
at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.